Do you love coffee? And do you also like to support our veterans? Well, I've got an awesome place for you guys to go. It satisfies both. Go to killtheenemycoffee.com. That's right, killtheenemycoffee.com. So what exactly is this? It's an active duty and veteran-owned small business. They're dedicated to bringing you this country's best-tasting coffee through hard work and long hours of perfecting blends. Guys, I don't just promote this just because I want to promote it. I've tried it. It's awesome. And the byproduct, an awesome feature of it, is you get to support your veterans. It's a small business. And that's what this country was built on, is entrepreneurial spirit and being able to start your own business and supporting veterans that have defended our freedom to be able to do something like this. So check out killtheenemycoffee.com. And yes, they obviously have coffee, but there's also some really awesome mugs. They have a gladiator mug and a kill the enemy water bottle. Really, really high quality stuff, guys. Check them out. And by the way, the kill the enemy slogan, that means to conquer your demons. So check out killtheenemycoffee.com. So conquer your demons one cup at a time. So tax season may be over, but your issues with taxes may just be beginning. Don't forget, guys, the IRS can audit your taxes within the last 7 years. So if you have any issues or you think you may have issues with taxes, check out DefenseTax.com. That's DefenseTax.com. They can help you settle your IRS tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. They help remove interest charges and penalties, prevent or stop wage garnishments, remove tax liens, prevent and stop property seizures, and they can also prevent and stop bank levies. Defense Tax Group is a tax advocacy service dedicated to protecting individuals and businesses from the financial devastation that results from the IRS tax debt. And trust me, guys, there is nothing scarier than getting that letter in the mail from the IRS telling you that there is going to be an audit or that you have an issue with your taxes. An IRS tax problem not only affects your financial future, but can also jeopardize every area of your life. And that's not what any of us need, right? So check out DefenseTax.com, or you can give them a call. 866-657-1040. That's 866-657-1040.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, May 16th, 2019. And a little bit of sad news coming through the wire just as I went on the air here. And Ashley Massaro, who was a WWE employee, well, shouldn't say employee, but WWE performer for a couple of years, has died. She was age 39. She won the 2005 Raw Diva Search, and she also, I'm just looking at some of her highlights. If you don't know who she is, she competed against Melina at WrestleMania 23. She was a Playboy model, all that kind of stuff, but she has died. I don't know, and we don't know yet what the cause of death was, but it's right now classified as non-criminal. So, you know, do you jump to the conclusion of suicide or accidental overdose? Maybe, you know, obviously that'll come to light as we roll through the days and weeks to come here. But sad news, 39 years old, and it's just hard to see this kind of stuff. You know, when you're immersed in the WWE universe and you're immersed in the really wrestling industry, regardless of what promotion you're in, anytime this news comes out, it's hard to see, because you just feel like, even though you're a fan, you don't know them personally. You have no connection with the 99% of them have no connection with their family or friends. it just feels like you're losing one of your own. I don't know. That's just the way I feel. I mean, you could say, oh, you don't know them. What are you sad for? Well, you know, you immerse yourself in a product and dedicate your life to a product that you love so much for, you know, 20 plus years. And, you know, you lose a performer, you lose a wrestler, even if they were a former performer or wrestler, it just strikes home. I don't know. It makes everything real. It puts things in perspective again. And sometimes, unfortunately, we need that from time to time. But again, Ashley Massaro has died. We don't know, again, the cause, but all right, let's move on to something a little happier, and that is the co-host that I have today. Her name is Angelique, and we connected via Twitter via my request to have a co-host for the show, and she has thrown her hat into the proverbial ring, and we had a very good discussion on a little bit of the current product, some of her favorite memories of wrestling, who she her all-time favorite in promo is, who her all-time favorite wrestler is, and some of the favorite memories that she has of watching wrestling, and bringing her back to the current product because she took a break from watching wrestling and is now being immersed back into the WWE fold, and her thoughts on Becky Two Belts, Becky calling herself the man. We talk about AJ Styles, her dislike of AJ Styles, her love of John Cena, and a ton more. So it's a great conversation, and you guys definitely want to stay tuned for that. But before I do, I just want to welcome you guys to the show again, and this is the WWE Podcast, if you didn't know already, and we produce two shows a week. One is on Thursday, one is on Sunday as of right now. Again, I say this every week, but additional shows are being looked at in terms of viability and just realisticness. Is that a word? It is now. That is ultimately what is going to be the hurdle that we have to jump over is time management, you know, something that we all don't have and wish we had more of, you know, that thing. So that is ultimately what is the hold up and the hurdle we all have to jump. So find me on iTunes, find me on Google Play, anywhere that you have podcasts, and give me a rate and review if you have the moment to do so. It is much appreciated if you have the time. But just some general thoughts of Monday Night Raw that and SmackDown Live this week. You know, I would thought that it was a week that progressed some storylines. I think it did a good job promoting Kofi Kingston and Kevin Owens for their upcoming match at this Sunday's Money in the Bank. And it also, I think, progressed Bray Wyatt's character, which I speak with Angelique about. And she's not on the same page as me, but that's okay. I think it created for some fun discussion why she's not into the Bray Wyatt deal right now and why I love it. So one of us is going to be right and one of us is going to be wrong. But I was really, really intrigued by Bray Wyatt. He right now, is, as far as I'm concerned, was the number one thing I thought about coming out of this week was Bray Wyatt and his Firefly Funhouse, which I hope continues. In addition, Nikki Cross, who seems to have a character change this week and going to be Alexa Bliss's lackey, is now a somewhat sweet girl who just wants to play nice and not just play. I don't know. I don't know what the soft version of Nikki Cross is for. However, Alexa Bliss has now officially been taken out of the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match for this Sunday. So it's going to be interesting to see who replaces her. And, you know, it's got to be frustrating for Lexi Kaufman, a.k.a. Alexa Bliss, as a person. I mean, it just has to be the fact that she has been out of action for so long. I mean, months prior to WrestleMania, she was the host of WrestleMania, comes back, is clear to compete, and then is now not clear to compete. I mean, she just must be just so frustrated. I'm assuming it has something to do with her concussion that was maybe lingering or is back or maybe got reconcussed. I don't know. I don't know the details, but the fact that she's not medically cleared for Sunday, and I'm disappointed. I was excited to see Alexa Bliss back. She, in my mind, was the odds-on favorite to win the Money in the Bank ladder match for the women, but unfortunately we won't be able to get to see that this Sunday, and hopefully it's not a long sit on the sidelines for Lexi Kaufman, the person, because I'm saying her name, the person, who she is, because it's affecting the person. I mean, I'm not just concerned about the character, I'm concerned about the person, because think about, you know, if you love to do something, but you could only kind of do it and not get inside the ring and do it. I mean, just to be able to only sit there and be a spectator, it's got to be frustrating for her. So we're going to get to my co-host Angelique in just a second, but I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're jumping right into the interview. No break, no more filler, just right into the interview with Angelique. But before I go, there's one more thing I have to tell you guys, and that's Yowie Wowie. Stay right here.
Push a woman too far, and she will push back. Push Taylor Thorne too far, people die. This is a story of a stripper with multiple personalities. Some sweet, some sexy, some deadly. Please enjoy Lovely Beast by Amy Ford on Amazon.com.
All right, guys. So believe it or not, I actually like Etsy. And right now, you guys should check out the So Hot Jewelry store on Etsy. At So Hot Jewelry, they believe that the jewelry you wear tells a story. They offer a large selection of men's jewelry like skull rings, bracelets, necklaces, and large temporary tattoos. So whether you're a biker, a surfer, or any style in between, they're confident that you'll find something unique and cool. So share your story with the world. Shop at sohotjewelry.etsy.com today. You can also check them out on Facebook and Instagram. They're at So Hot Jewelry. I've checked them out. They've got some really cool stuff. So check them out at sohotjewelry.etsy.com today. All right, guys, welcome back. And right now I have a special co-host, a guest co-host for this episode. And this is Angelique, who recently got back into wrestling. She had her own podcast formerly, and really excited to be talking with her today about the current product. Angelique, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome to be able to finally talk to you. We've been corresponding on Twitter for the last several weeks now, and trying to come up with a date. We've both got work, we've got babies. It's just craziness. So be able to finally connect with you is going to be fun, because right now we're going to be discussing not just the current product, but future things that are going to be going on with Goldberg and Undertaker. I want to just touch on that later on. We're going to talk about AJ Styles. We're going to talk about Bray Wyatt, who I am really, really loving right now. I can't wait to talk about Bray Wyatt. We'll get to that. We'll get to Becky and Becky Two Belts. So before, though, we get to any of that, I just want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to my listeners, and just how you got into wrestling, why you got back into it, and even your Twitter handle where they can reach you.
Yeah, of course. My Twitter handle is going to be C_VeniVidiVici. I know that might be hard to spell. So you can actually just search Angelique. I'm pretty sure that I'll pop up. So I got back into wrestling recently because I was trying to do a podcast on it. But like you said, when you have babies, you have work, it's just trying to find the time. So when you posted that you were looking for a co-host, I thought, okay, well, if he's producing it, then if I can hop on and, you know, we have that chemistry, then that would be great. I kind of fell off of wrestling just because it was, again, time. It was a time thing. I would keep up with it, and I even had the WWE Network for a little while. And, you know, I watch all the reality shows and everything like that. I mean, I've been watching wrestling since I was probably 5. And I always get the kind of like the jokes about, oh, wrestling's fake. And, you know, I just enjoy it. So, but I kind of fell off just because of time. And then actually when I got back in contact with you, then I started watching it again and I missed it. You know, it's some good stuff happening right now, so I'm excited to get back into it.
It's a product that never really leaves you. Like, right. You know, like, it's like riding a bike. Once you get back into it, you're like, oh, this is why I like watching it. And yeah, there are a ton of things that you could say you don't like about WWE right now and critique it and all of that. Right. But, I mean, at your core, if you're a wrestling fan, exactly. Like, if you're a wrestling fan, typically you stay a wrestling fan. And maybe if you're not watching it regularly, you'll kind of casually see what's going on. And like you said, though, with life, it's hard to watch as much content as WWE pumps out every week. I mean, you're looking at, like, you know, between NXT, Raw, and SmackDown, that's 7 hours of content. It's almost impossible to keep up. So it's just so much volume that it's difficult.
And I also think, isn't Raw like 3 hours now?
3 hours. And
yeah,
it's, I don't think that that's going anywhere. They like the ad revenue that that third hour brings.
Right.
It ain't going anywhere, unfortunately, as much as we may complain. And I don't think WrestleMania is going to be shortened either. I mean, next year, I wouldn't be surprised if they just stretch it out over 2 days. I mean, it is getting – WrestleMania is so long that it actually starts to take away from the enjoyment of watching the show. I mean, it is it's too much. But, yeah. You know, hey – I don't think that the length of those shows are going anywhere. The revenue is what they're concerned about, and unfortunately, sometimes that comes at the cost of a quality product. But,
right.
But yeah, also with the whole podcast deal, totally get it, man. It's really difficult to find time, and I would love to be able to do more shows every week.
Huh?
It's just time and being parents and working full time and everything else, and life gets in the way.
But I commend you though, because you have, I think it was 45,000 followers?
Yeah, roughly.
That's pretty awesome.
It is. And the thing is, too, and if anyone is looking at starting a podcast, people just don't sometimes grasp the fact that it takes time and it's not going to be an overnight success and it's a labor of love. You just have to keep at it, find a way to differentiate yourself and just always try to improve the audio and change things up and stick with it. And sometimes that will weed out a lot of people.
Right.
So yeah, no, but I encourage anybody out there who's looking to start one, do it. It's a blast if you can stay with it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's get into it and let's get into the product. So I'm not going to come up with the first topic here. I've got a whole slew. I'll let Angelique kind of just drive the car here and let everybody put it on her right now and say, hey, what is on Angelique's mind right now when it comes to WWE in 2019?
Oh man, it's a huge change. Even from, I would say even maybe a year ago, it's like a lot has changed. I'm watching now Becky. Actually, the last time that I remember keeping up with wrestling, it was all about Sasha Banks. Like, everywhere you turn, it was Sasha Banks. And now what I'm getting is a lot of Becky. A lot of Becky Two Belts, which, and she calls herself the man now. So it's really interesting, like, getting back into it. And seeing everything that's changed, I think now the Bellas are even gone or they retired. So I would like to talk about Becky a little bit. I think that she's doing an amazing job. I mean, she has both belts, so she's pretty much the focus of the women's division right now. And I think she does a really awesome job. And I guess there's a new girl too. What's her name?
The Southern Bell.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's escaping me. Oh my god, it's escaping me. And she's on the damn pay per view. What is her name? Lacey Evans. Jeez.
Lacey Evans. I like her.
Yes.
I think I like her too. She's very new to me. This is the first time I've actually watched her on camera, and I like her a lot. So I think they're doing some really great things with that division. So I don't know what you think about Becky, but I'm a fan.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting that you left wrestling with Sasha as the focus, and you now come back to Becky being the focus, and you're like, what happened? And it's pretty jarring to go from Sasha Banks to Becky, given that at that time, Becky was kind of in the shadows of all of the rest of the women, kind of blending in.
Right.
And I don't know if you really, if you followed how this all came about with Becky being the focus of the women's division, with WWE attempting to turn her heel at SummerSlam, the fans got in a tidal wave behind her. And since that time, she's been just a complete massive success for WWE in the women's division. She has taken over and has really become the face of the women's division. And
so
to go from Sasha Banks, who ironically now is actually rumored to have quit WWE, although those rumors have been somewhat squashed, Sasha Banks is actually not even on TV anymore. She's not in the good graces of WWE. She's done a lot of complaining.
Are you
backstage.
Serious?
Yeah, it's not a good situation with Sasha Banks and WWE right now. She's employed, but I think it's hanging on by a thread at this time.
She was so good. I loved watching her. That's unfortunate.
It is.
Oh,
and
man.
She has a lot to offer. I think she's just been frustrated with the creative end of it. So,
yeah.
But, again, Becky right now is tearing it up. I mean, she I don't know how long she's going to remain Becky Two Belts. She's got two title matches this Sunday at Money in the Bank.
Oh,
I think she drops one of them.
I would love to pull that off.
Yeah. So I don't think she's going to be doing double duty for too long. I think she's going to end up dropping one. But, yeah, now what is your thought? Because you've watched wrestling previously. You took some time off. But the women main evented WrestleMania for the first time ever with Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte. What do you think about? Like, what does that mean to you? Is that like, as a wrestling as a woman, all of that. Like, what does that mean to you?
That's major. Like, I remember back in the day when I was watching wrestling back, like way back in the day, I used to wonder all the time, when are these women going to get more than one belt for one? When are they going to get tag team championships? I mean, I saw the talent. I mean, you have Trish Stratus, Lita, all these really, really good athletes. And I was just wondering when's things going to change? And now that I come back and I see everything that's been happening, it's like, it's crazy. Even, Renee. I see Renee is doing commentary now. Like, it's gone like way above and beyond what I even thought it was gonna be. So it's really, really exciting to watch. Especially when you've been watching it for so long and you see all the, you know, leaps and bounds that all the women have made. It's insane. So I'm definitely going to get right back into it. So
it's an awesome time to be a wrestling fan and to see what WWE has done with the women finally, and not just make them sex objects. I mean, that's honestly like what they were.
But it was.
Call it like it is. Yeah, right. they were sex objects, you know, in bra and panties matches and pillow fights and all this stuff that it's like, you know, but, you know, as a teenage boy, I was going ooh and gaga over.
Of course.
But, you know, I'm 34 years old now. Like, I mean, that stuff like, oh, you know, well, I'm not blind, but that's not what I watch wrestling for. Like, I'm like, okay, well, that's great, but I want to see wrestling. I want to see competition. And obviously they've moved into a PG product. They can't be doing that anymore anyway.
Right.
So I'm super thrilled for the women. Main eventing WrestleMania for women is something that I honestly didn't think I would see for at least another 10 years, just based on how far they've come with WWE with the women's division at that time a few years ago and where I think they could go. I never thought it would happen when it did, but obviously the acquisition of Ronda Rousey really didn't put things. I mean, you bring in a star like Ronda Rousey into the fold and she exponentially, you know, accelerates things, and she did.
And I was watching Rousey back when she was in the octagon. So I know how, you know, I know the level of I was obsessed with her when she was in UFC. So to see her come over here, I mean, that's like me. That's like kid in the candy store for me. So I'm definitely excited to see where it all goes. I'm sure they're going to be getting some girls from NXT too. So, I mean, it could only get better.
It can, and I think it will, and it's just amazing that the women had their own all-women pay-per-view at Evolution last year, which I think was one of the best pay-per-views of the year, bar none. I mean, not just because it was all women, but just because of the quality of the matches and the stories they told. It was an awesome pay-per-view. Just think about everything that is going on with WWE. You got to really stand up and tip your cap to them, because they have put their money where their mouth is and not just say it's a women's movement and give it lip service, but they've done it. They've done it, and the women main evented WrestleMania. It's been awesome. So, you know, obviously, circling back here, we have Becky Two Belts. She calls herself the Man. Now, I know that you mentioned you wanted to discuss this. So, what is your take on? Because there's a couple different angles you could take on how you view that phrase. So, what do you think about this?
Yeah, because I guess what I was trying to figure out is what exactly. Or where that came from, because I know they come up with their, you know, their one-liners or whatever from somewhere. So I was just kind of trying to figure out if maybe you could help me out with that, where exactly that stems from. I didn't even know really what to think.
So I guess what the origins of that were from is, I don't know who, but she has a friend. Becky Lynch has a friend that used to say, like, oh, you're the man, you're the man. And then they told Becky, you should say that in your promos. And so she did, and it stuck. And she sold a bazillion of those The Man t-shirts and has made a lot of money off of that phrase. Now, the irony of that is that with all this women's evolution and revolution and movement, she calls herself The Man. Out of, you know, so there's that, well, why do you have to call yourself The Man in a women's revolution? But she comes back, I mean, and it's true. When she says she's The Man, she's not saying that I'm the man as in, like, the gender man, but more of I'm the top dog. It's just a phrase that is used to say I'm the guy, I'm the man, I'm the top dog here. So that is more of what she's implying.
Okay, awesome. I just saw that because I remember even they changed. They're no longer called divas. They're also superstars. So I figured that kind of bridged that gap. So I was just kind of trying to figure out where that was coming from, but yeah, awesome. She wears the belts well, and I think that for as long as she'll have both of them, she'll do them justice. So yeah, I'm definitely excited to see where that goes.
Yep. Yeah, no, I am too. And I unfortunately, as I said earlier, I don't think she's going to be wearing both for long. I think going to, I mean, it just makes sense to not have one person have both belts, especially with two brands. So I think, spoiler alert, I think that she drops the belt, the SmackDown Championship, to Charlotte, and she'll keep the Raw Championship. But, I mean, that we'll find out Sunday. So moving on to, let's talk about AJ Styles. I know this is a topic we both wanted to discuss. Before I give my thoughts on, well, this past week and in general, what do you have to say about AJ Styles?
If I'm being completely honest, not the biggest fan of AJ Styles. I don't want to say I'm obsessed, but I was the biggest John Cena fan. I mean, posters on my wall, like, covered. I was the biggest John Cena fan, and ever since he had that feud with John Cena, I just haven't been a fan. I'm not a fan of the hair, don't like the gloves. I kind of just watch AJ Styles because of the person he's against. But he's good. I can't deny his talent. I'm just not a fan. So that's as far as I go with AJ Styles at this point. Maybe somebody could convince me otherwise, but
I'm not. I mean, I can't convince you otherwise. You like who you like, and I think that you are not alone in the camp of loving John Cena, especially when it comes to the women demographic who have beloved him, along with Roman Reigns. I mean, he is just one of those guys that tends to attract the female audience to him, and I'm kind of on the other side of the camp, and I never disliked John Cena as a person. I think that what he's done has been awesome with the Make-A-Wish. He set records doing Make-A-Wish. I think as a person, he's a good human being. I was just never a fan of the John Cena character that was constantly pandering. I guess it was that he had become such a stark change from the Attitude Era. You go from Stone Cold Steve Austin to The Rock to You Can't See Me. Like, it was just to me like such a softening of the product, and he was a representation of that. And I think maybe that's what really turned me off from him. But I can't deny his success. He's a hell of a competitor. He can cut one of the best promos in the business, bar none, probably one of the top promos that I've ever seen. He is the guy when it comes to promos. So, so that's where I stand with John Cena. As far as AJ Styles goes, right now he's in a program with Seth Rollins, and they are, they have a championship match for the Universal title at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view Sunday. And I think that match is a match that, to be honest, they are using way too quickly, and a match that they could have built up from afar, where both guys were on their own, in their own programs, doing their own thing, and bring them together for a major pay-per-view like SummerSlam or Survivor Series or Rumble or Mania. So that's where I stand with AJ and John Cena.
So they should have built up that match a little bit more. Seth Rollins, he competed. I mean, I'm sorry, he beat Brock Lesnar for the championship, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And he is now on Raw.
Yes, he is.
AJ Styles on SmackDown.
Well, no, AJ Styles is on Raw, too.
No. AJ Styles is on Raw, too. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because I know everybody's switching.
Well, that's the thing, and honestly, I can't blame you for being confused. I'm confused, because I think that what WWE has done is they have these brand splits, but then they have inexplicably people just come over to one brand or the other. And it's like, well, who belongs to what brand? On top of that, Vince McMahon initiated the wild card rule last week where he's allowing four people from each brand to just decide that they want to come over to that particular rival show. It's just why even bother having a brand split at this point?
Exactly. Everybody should just, I guess, be on both brands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting to the point where, I mean, I could say why even bother with the brand split, but then you would only have certain storylines that are featured every single week if you only have one program that's only conveying one set of storylines, whereas having a brand split allows two worlds to exist at once. They're just allowing, I guess, a controlled takeover whenever they have these. It can only be four. Now, how they decide what four are going, is it just the first four guys or four women that show up on that rival show? I mean, there's no explanation for these things. There's no structure. That's my problem, is that WWE just does these things, but then forgets to pay attention to detail, which, I mean, as a viewer of any TV show, whether it's wrestling, whether it's Family Guy, I love Family Guy, or whether it's Game of Thrones, huge fan of Game of Thrones, detail matters to me. I want to be immersed in the story, and it's hard to do that when just gaping holes are sitting there.
Right.
How does this happen?
Mm-hmm. And I believe, Shane is also is he general manager for both shows?
That's another thing that's so funny you're going to bring up, because he is as of on paper, he is the general manager of SmackDown. Now, you wouldn't know that if you popped onto Raw and he comes out and says, exactly. I'm the boss of both of you. And he was pointing to The Miz and Roman Reigns on Raw. And it's like, well, no, you're not, because you're on Raw. So that's one of the things I'm talking about, that the attention to detail, just general things that they don't bother explaining.
Mm. Yeah. And they, and Shane, actually, doesn't Shane have a match as well?
Yes, he does. He has a match with The Miz in a steel cage on Sunday.
I mean, Shane, I think Shane is probably getting too old for this. I don't see him being successful. I don't see that. And yeah. I'm a fan of The Miz. I don't think The Miz is that great in the ring. I'm sorry. But, I mean, if he has Shane as a competitor, he might just do it.
And honestly, Shane McMahon, as much as I dislike the fact that we're supposed to believe that he can go toe to toe with these world class athletes at any given moment, and he's 50 some years old. I mean, it's sometimes difficult to take that in, but when you look at the guy, he has gray hair all over the place and you know, all of that, he is in really good shape.
Right.
He is in really good shape. So as much as I like to kind of downplay the fact that this is a not believable story, at the same time, this guy can take a punch. This guy can go. He's got some wind in his lungs, and I'm with you kind of on The Miz too. I don't think he's the greatest wrestler in the world. But I think that his gimmick has started to finally get over after being there for, 13 years?
Mm-hmm. He's fancy. I'm sorry. He's fancy. When he grabs the mic, I'm sorry. He knows what he's doing. I have to admit that. And some people are just better on the mic than, you know, in ring. And him and AJ Styles kind of swap that way, kind of getting back to AJ Styles. I think he's better fighting than talking. Maybe that's why I don't really like him. Maybe I don't like when he speaks, but I watch him fight. I think that's probably it.
I can't blame you. The fact of the matter is, The Miz can talk better than he can fight, though. I think The Miz has always had a silver tongue since he came into WWE, even before he was known as The Miz as we know him today. I mean, if you remember, he came from the real world on MTV.
Sure.
We all remember that.
I remember that.
And it has taken him an extremely long time to shake that. As much as The Miz has been around, there are still times when I look at him and I still just occasionally will look at him as the reality star from MTV.
Of course.
It's just, I don't know what it is that I can't shake that from him completely.
I was actually just watching his when he came down to the ring in the latest episode, and he that's the first thing that came to mind was Real World. And it's just, I don't know. It's, I don't think he's gonna shake that. That's just how I know him. And I mean, he's, I think he's brought it this far just by, you know, just by his ability on the mic. So, I mean, he might be around for a lot longer. Sometimes it's not always about the fight. So yeah, I can see him kind of hanging around.
It's not. And he actually has a track record that is pretty darn good of not being injured. He is right. Very rarely injured, which is always a positive when you're a promotion looking for a guy that's reliable and is not injury prone. So right. The Miz has, he is extremely good on the mic. I don't think they need to really write scripts for him. And if they do, I'm sure he just creates his own in his brain, because he's right. just that talented that he can cut a promo and go toe-to-toe with almost anybody. So that is what kept, that has kept Miz alive over the last 13 years, has been his ability to speak.
Mm-hmm. So no question. I think the only person that actually beats Miz on the mic is Paul Heyman. When Paul Heyman starts talking, I am 100% tuned in. I love Paul Heyman. Oh my goodness, the biggest fan. I'm sorry, I got off track there, but
no. And I know Paul Heyman hasn't been on Raw since pre-WrestleMania, but.
Right.
That, and I'm with you on that, but the problem is that it's almost unfair to compare Paul Heyman to anybody. Paul Heyman is in his own league. Paul Heyman is like, you know, the major leagues, where it seems everyone else is kind of minor league. When you look at Paul Heyman, he is, I don't think anybody would argue that. And it's really a shame that as awesome as Paul Heyman is, that he was never able to be an actual competitor in the ring, because he would have main evented. If you could take his promo ability and his brain and stick it into a guy that's 6'5" with a six pack, they would instantly make money. And it's right. just, but Paul Heyman is clearly, hands down, one of the, if not the best talker in WWE, despite the fact he's only a advocate for Brock Lesnar.
Right. Oh man, when you talk about promos, that's the best. Oh my gosh, I would watch that all day long. I love Paul Heyman. But he said he's gone now.
Well, he's gone for the time being. Right now, the contract status with Brock Lesnar is up in the air, because Brock Lesnar has, quote, officially retired from MMA with the UFC. So the thinking is, oh, well, he's got to go back to WWE. But I think that Brock Lesnar's playing a little bit of hard to get with Vince McMahon. I know that he is scheduled to be at the Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia next month, and then probably a date at SummerSlam. But in between then and now, and who his opponents are, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay. All right. A lot going on. I got a lot to catch up on.
There is. And before we get to Bray Wyatt, because that's the next thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
Which I'm loving. But what is – you mentioned you love promos. You could watch them all day. So when you think about that, like what are some of the promos that bring you back to those times where it's just like, oh, man, this is awesome?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm just going to say one thing. The Rock, okay? The Rock was, I mean, I'll just sit on YouTube and just watch all his, do you remember the conversations he used to have with Lillian Garcia, or the, just like the one-liners he used to have? So that, anytime I think of like a really good promo, I think of The Rock. Like, The Rock and Paul Heyman. Those are the two I would say are, they just take me back to when wrestling was, I guess I won't say better, just different. It was just so different back then. You know, when you had people like Stone Cold or Shawn Michaels. I mean, D-Generation X was like, I mean, I used to have all these action figures and clothes, t-shirts. I mean, I was just loving that back then. So that's what it brings me back to answer your question.
Yeah, it does too. I mean, you're making my mind jog here. Back when I was in middle school to slightly into high school when that was going on, and Yeah, The Rock was hands down at that time one of the best, and I know what you're talking about when he was interacting with Lillian Garcia. He was referring to his strudel, the people's strudel,
right,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I loved all of that, and yeah, he was just he was entertaining as hell to watch. And you mentioned Stone Cold, you mentioned Mick Foley, you mentioned Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
All those guys, I mean, you're looking at an all-star cast at a time where wrestling was at its peak. It was still believable, as much as people would say, oh, that's fake. And as a wrestling fan, we get that, it's so fake. We all get it. It just comes with the territory of being a fan. And look, I've said this 100 times, but I'll say it again. Anybody that tells me that, I just look at them and I'm saying, so every TV and movie show that you've watched.
Exactly. Are it's written, real.
So that's not scripted? Right. So then anyway, those are the golden era that I'm on YouTube all the time too, on the WWE Network, just bringing me back. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that.
Of course, yeah. Evolution, Ric Flair. And then also it's kind of cool too to see their children, because I believe the brothers are Rikishi's kids. So it's like you get to see their children too come up, Randy Orton, you know, and then they just completely have their own direction. Like I said, it was so different back then. And then now all of them come in and they have their own direction with the shows and everything. Like, it's just really, really good entertainment. So
Randy Orton's
I'm always
going to
be a fan.
Mm-hmm. Randy Orton's still around. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
This guy has found a way to preserve his body in some kind of time machine where he can just continue to just survive. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that he has taken care of his body. He is careful in the ring. He doesn't, and he would admit it himself, he doesn't kill himself in every single match. He is very methodical. He's very smooth. And he just is there, and he's that legacy star that just is the constant that's there. And we all love the RKO. And
oh my gosh, RKO out of nowhere! That was tearing up Twitter. RKO out of nowhere.
There and are so many videos. Yes.
Right, and he's so, when you say he's just so kind of fluid in the ring, you can tell he just belongs there. You know, I always thought that about Randy. You could tell he just belongs there. That's where he belongs. So definitely great to watch him in the ring as well. Bray Wyatt, though, mm-hmm. with the Firefly Funhouse.
What are your thoughts
on that? I can't get behind it. I don't know. I always fast forward.
So this does not interest you. Well, first of all, before you tell, you're dismissing it. That's fine. What about, did you see what his gimmick was previous to this?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
This is just, I think, it's just so creepy. It's so creepy to me. Like, Bray Wyatt, when he was with the, what were they called?
The Wyatt family. With
the Wyatt family, right. Oh my gosh, loved it. Sister Abigail, I was all into that. I just don't get this. It's very creepy for me.
Now let me ask this. Do you mm-hmm. fast forward through it because you're creeped out or because you're just like, this is stupid?
I mean, a little bit of both. Because I see like the, you know, I get gimmicks. I get it. And everybody has like their, you know, their gimmick that they do, but this is just a little creepy for me. It kind of reminds me of like when the people like kidnap kids and bring them to the house. It just doesn't work for me. But you love it, right?
I do. You know, like people are, and there was actually some backlash the first couple of weeks when it happened of just what you said, that, oh, they're going too far. They're bringing kids into this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, like, first of all, this is TV PG. If you're concerned about your kids watching this, you know, be a parent and don't let them watch it. And so, like, you know, he wasn't doing anything to the kids. They were just all sitting there in his living room, just completely hypnotized. So, like, you know, there was nothing illegal. There was nothing immoral going on. That just he was just the host, a creepy host of this faux kids show. Uh-huh. So, personally, now you're saying it's a little bit stupid, a little bit creepy, and a little bit you don't get. Is that pretty much nail it on the head?
Maybe as time goes on and he does, I guess, more and more of these, maybe I'll begin to kind of get into it. I don't know. Right now, I'm just not feeling this one, I have to say.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to be on the complete opposite end, but I don't want to go overboard because we have not even seen him in the ring yet. How does this translate inside the ring? We don't know.
Exactly.
Right now, it's all vignettes. It's all backstage. It's all pre-made. And I'm loving it. And I think that it's at first I was a little bit skeptical, just like everybody else. But even week one, I said, look, the fact that we're all talking about it and it had the highest view count on WWE's YouTube channel says something. Regardless if you thought it was stupid or not, people are talking about it. And the next week, they continue to progress it, and it continues to get a little darker and a little darker. And this week, he tells us about the secret that he has and that he's learned to harness his darkness, and he's now this kind of warped, demonic clown. I don't even know what you'd call it yet. I don't know what it is, but I'm intrigued as hell because I was on it. As much as you loved his previous gimmick, I didn't really get that one. And he would talk in riddles every week, and I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. I need a character I can grasp onto and understand, and maybe this is it. I'm glad that they are evolving with Bray Wyatt.
Well, definitely, now that we're having this conversation, I'm going to give it more of a chance. Because, like I said, I'm into all of this. So I'll give it more of a chance, and I'll see if it kind of, you know, kind of grabs me. Sometimes it just takes time to grab you.
All right. You know? All right. So what I've done is encourage you to give this another chance.
Of course.
All right. All right. Well, good. And you know what? This may completely bomb inside the ring, and it may be a total flop. And then we can talk about how terrible it was that I decided to give this a chance, and that I need to stop recommending you to do things. So I think that right now this is something that has people's attention, but the concerns are legitimate. How does this work when he wrestles?
Exactly.
What does he do live? Does he continue to just be this guy in a turtleneck sweater, and then somebody provokes him and he turns into this guy? I don't know how this is all going to work, but it has us asking more questions than we have answers, and typically that's a good thing.
Right. Exactly.
So
as long as he's
exactly. So let's see some other notes here we got from SmackDown, well, Raw or SmackDown, because some of these people are on both shows.
Right.
Is Roman Reigns. So before we get into the storyline that he's in right now, which is with Shane McMahon on one end, what are your thoughts on Roman Reigns and what he's doing right now?
I've always been a Roman Reigns fan. I mean, when he was with the Shield, not gonna lie, I was always a bigger Seth Rollins fan. I really love Seth Rollins, but I always liked Roman Reigns. And at this point, I think that I don't want to say I've seen him. The thing about Roman Reigns is I haven't seen really any improvement from him. You know, usually some people spend some time in the ring and you kind of see them kind of improve. I don't think I've seen any improvement from him. He's kind of just the same. Now, the fact that he's in this feud with Shane McMahon, I find that interesting. I definitely want to see how that works. And I know he was sick the other day, so I definitely applaud him for, you know, getting better, coming back and everything. But yeah, I'm looking forward to see where everything goes with him. I don't know. He doesn't make me really excited. I guess I enjoy the feuds that he's in and, you know, when he's in the ring, but he doesn't get me excited. Roman Reigns just doesn't do that for me.
I don't think he gets himself excited. I think, I'll be honest, and I totally understand. And I know why some of the women are enamored with him, because he's got that perfectly silky hair. Like he could be in a shampoo commercial, and he's got those steel blue eyes and all of that. And he's a tall, dark, mysterious guy. I understand all of the eroticism around him. And that's why a lot of women cheer him. But when it comes down to it, as an ardent fan, first of all, I don't find him attractive because I'm a dude. Like I'm not sexually attracted to him. But number two, like I want to be invested in his character, and I'm not. And you just alluded to a good point, is that he doesn't feel different from when he before he was in the Shield and before he had cancer and told us all he had leukemia and he was going through the battle. And I figured, you know, he comes back and the fans get behind him. And now he just kind of feels like that same old guy. Like, I need more from Roman. I need them to do something with him that doesn't feel like it's the same record playing over and over.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of, I hate to call him boring. I hate to call him boring, but it's just kind of, you know, it's like, that's the part of the show that you kind of just sit through it. I guess you could say. Hopefully he picks up in his character. Hopefully. I'm just not excited about it. I enjoy watching him, just not excited.
Yeah. I don't look when he's on TV, I don't turn away. Like, I'll watch, but I'm not like super engaged. Like, I mean, the thing is, when we talk about things that he needs to change, I mean, think about this. Like, he's had the same music since he debuted.
Exactly.
He's had the same exact look since he debuted. Like, nothing has drastically changed. His promo style has admittedly improved, but not to the level that you'd want to see for him to be a top guy. His in-ring skills, while they have improved, they've plateaued, and they've plateaued for quite some time. He feels like, and this was a good analogy I heard from somebody else, he feels like a video game character that a 12-year-old kid is playing, where he's just kind of like pressing the same buttons over and over. Like, he kind of feels like that. Like, not that he's a bad wrestler. I think he's a very good performer. I think he's a hell of an athlete. But there's something that he needs to change, and change in all areas of his character, from the look to the promo to his in-ring.
Right. And I kind of want to, just kind of hopping off of that idea, is there really someone that's really getting the crowd? I think I remember the last time somebody really made the crowd go crazy was, I want to say, Daniel Bryan, when he was, you know, Yes. I think that's the last exciting thing that I've seen. I mean, where the crowd is going insane is Daniel Bryan. I haven't seen really that much excitement.
And now Daniel Bryan's a heel.
So, right. Exactly. So.
Yeah. To answer your question, I would say beyond Becky Lynch, I mean, if you're talking about the men's division, maybe Kofi Kingston right now. You know, that storyline and that fairy tale is still continuing. I don't know for how long for Kofi. I mean, spoiler alert again, I think he retains against Kevin Owens, although I don't think many people disagree that he's going to retain. However, Kofi Kingston might be your answer for right now, because he's kind of that grassroots homegrown guy that he was there for 11 years, never got a WWE championship opportunity, gets it at WrestleMania via the fans' reaction and forcing Vince McMahon's hand to do so. He wins the title, and now the fans get to celebrate with him. But how long does that boom stay on the rose? Like, how long do the fans stay behind him is the question.
And that's the thing, is that even though he's getting that love right now, and I mean, I can definitely feel it, it's still not it's not the same. I mean, when we just talked about The Rock, we talked about John Cena when he first came out. I mean, the crowd goes insane. So Kofi might get a little bit of that, but I still don't see it at the levels. I don't see it at those levels, and I don't see any superstar really at that level right now. So I think I'm more so interested in who's going to get us that excited. That's why I actually bring that up with Roman Reigns. I want to see who's going to get me that excited again, because kind of not getting that right now.
I think it's easier said than done too. I mean, in WWE's defense, and this is the only way I can defend them besides destroying them, is that it is much harder to sit in a boardroom or a conference room and come up with these creative ideas to get somebody over. And then there's that. And then there's the execution of it. And I think that in the execution, sometimes either A, it's not executed correctly, or B, it's the wrong idea. And there are so many creative writers that Vince McMahon has backstage, that when you have so many ideas flooding in, it's hard to filter out the ones that you think will be the best and will be the best for the product, best for the star. And it's just much easier said than done. When you talk about Stone Cold, Rock, Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley, when you talk about Kane, all these guys that we all know and love and are stars and are just should be on the Mount Rushmore of the Attitude Era, those guys were once in a generation performers, and it's really difficult to put these guys currently at that expectation level, because those are ones that I think we got so spoiled between 1997 and 2008. Absolutely. That it has now forever raised the bar to an unfair level for the stars of 2019.
Yeah, that you make a good point there. You make a good point. So I guess we kind of just take what we can get.
Yeah,
I'm so happy. Yep. I'm so happy for Kofi Kingston. I mean, I remember watching him a long time ago, even 10 years ago, and he just did some amazing things. I mean, they would throw him out of the ring. His feet wouldn't touch the ground. He was just doing some crazy things, and I really wanted that for him. So to hear that he actually achieved that, I mean, that's awesome, and he deserves all the love he's getting right now, for sure.
He does, and I think it's a feel good story, because I think also it's relatable, where anybody in their lives can relate to looking at something that they want in their lives and scratching and clawing to get it, and we just want that opportunity. He's a relatable guy. He's not a guy that's 7 feet tall and, you know, has 36-inch arms, and he looks kind of like the common man, just like Daniel Bryan did. He looks like the common man, and a lot of people can relate, and relatability is key and not something that you can teach. And I think that Daniel Bryan had it before he turned heel, and you have Kofi Kingston have it as well. So, I mean, I'm enjoying Kofi Kingston right now. As long as this ride will take us, I'm on board with what WWE does.
Same.
So moving on a little bit here, and this is taking it out of the WWE news this week, at least in the TV programming, is Goldberg versus Undertaker. That is now official for the Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia next month. So now this is, and I mentioned this to you before the show aired, and you said, wait, aren't they retired? And
right.
I said, yeah, they should be. That's my answer. And I feel like this match is about 14 years late. But it's happening. It's happening. And before I give my thoughts, I wanted to hear yours on this.
Oh, I think I'm excited to see this. I mean, Undertaker, come on. Who didn't like Undertaker in his prime? I mean, Undertaker is always exciting to watch. And Goldberg. Is it Goldberg? I'm sorry, Goldberg, Goldust.
Goldberg.
Goldberg. Okay. Oh, no, it was Goldust that retired. Okay. So Goldberg and Undertaker, I can get behind that. Even though they're kind of, you know, the older crowd, I can definitely – well, see, that will bring me some excitement. I feel like that will bring me the excitement that I need. So, yeah, I'm 100% behind that. I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be a nostalgic ride for sure. I don't expect this to be a five-star classic, just because, I mean, these guys are, especially Undertaker, has more mileage on his body than I think most of the guys on the roster combined. I mean, this guy has been put back together like Frankenstein with how many surgeries he's had. Goldberg is a guy that, while he's in hell of a shape, and I know that he actually does MMA workouts, and Muay Thai, I believe, is what he's into, all that kind of stuff. And he is well into his 40s, if not early 50s as well. And I think Father Time is going to be against him as well. So when I say it's 14 years late, in terms of at least being able to be a match that I think could have been a dream match that isn't just thrown on a card just to have name value and shock value to it. So I'm going to watch it. I think it's going to be a lot of slow moving, high impact, probably 10 to 12 minutes, maybe not. I'd say under 10 minutes of a match. And I don't even know who's going to come out on top for this. I don't know, because I don't know where they're going.
Right. Yeah, can't even stand behind one of them. Yeah, this is the kind of match you just kind of be surprised about it. I'm a fan of both of them, and I usually pick a side, but I like them both, so we'll see how it goes. Can't really stand behind one in this one.
No, we can't. At least I can. At least, well, you know what? I'm going to stand behind The Undertaker. And the only reason I'm going to stand behind The Undertaker is because I'm a WWE guy or WWF guy back at the time. Uh-huh. And with Goldberg being the face of WCW, I was never a WCW guy. Okay. I was a Monday Night Raw guy. So I'm going to stand behind The Undertaker for this one. So as shallow as that may be, that is my where my loyalty lies.
Absolutely.
So is there anything that you watched this week that maybe I didn't touch on that you're like, hey, we got to talk about this?
No, I think we kind of touched on everybody. There wasn't a women's match. Oh no, Becky did fight. Oh no, we spoke about Becky and the Southern Belle. So yeah, I think we touched on everything.
Awesome. So now, is there anything, any wrestling memories that you have? Because I always like to ask this for people who have just gotten back into wrestling before we close things out here. What are some of your favorite wrestling memories that you have that you go, yeah, this is why I love wrestling?
Right. Oh, man. Jeez, there's so many. Okay, let me narrow it down. The best matches I think I've ever seen have come from Rey Mysterio. I've pulled up some of his really old matches, and that's why I love WWE Network. I mean, you can go back into way back. And I've watched some old Rey Mysterio and my favorite wrestler, Eddie Guerrero. So anything I can watch with Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, I mean, I'll lose track of time. I mean, it'll be nightfall, and I'm like, oh, I've been sitting watching TV all day. So, yeah, definitely Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. Love them.
I will second that with Eddie Guerrero, who is a guy that, well, he wasn't the first one I ever watched. Shawn Michaels and Undertaker at 97, Bad Blood, Hell in a Cell, the very first Hell in a Cell got me into wrestling. Eddie Guerrero was one of the very, very few guys in wrestling that brought me into wrestling in a very real way. He was a character that he had such talent on air to bring you into emotion. He was able to make you feel emotions so easily. And when he died in 2005, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was in 2005, I was 20 years old. I remember sitting there. I was in my college dorm, and I was like, did this just happen? And they're tolling the bells for Eddie. Like, I was sitting there crying. I'm like, I didn't even know the guy personally, but like, it was so emotional.
Right. And I felt the same. And you know me. I mean, I'm a girl, so of course I'm going to cry. But I couldn't believe it. You know, at first when you hear it, you're like, no way. But then, you know, when reality starts to hit you, and then, like you said, they start ringing the bells and they're, you know, giving their tributes and everything. I mean, that was really one of my, I guess, one of the saddest moments. I mean, because we've lost, you know, many wrestlers. Benoit, and you know, we've lost a few, but with Eddie Guerrero, that was my number one. I'm a huge fan of Eddie Guerrero, so
yeah, that was one of the most emotional nights. And as you said, yeah, there's been others. Owen Hart, Chris Benoit, obviously the situation that surrounded Chris Benoit is much different.
Yeah,
you know, they've had a lot of tribute videos for a lot of different guys, but Eddie Guerrero was one that just stuck with me and still sticks with me. Sure. I mean, when you look at that tribute video they did with who was that the artist that they, I think it was Three Doors Down, that they had like a Here Without You, I think was the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And they did that video, and he's, you know, they show shots of him with his family and his kids. And mm-hmm. it's like, even to this day, it's been 14 years, and it's still like he just, I don't know. Eddie Guerrero by far, I mean, not just with his ability to bring you in, but his wrestling was just smooth. You talk about smooth. Yeah. You talk about tight. You talk about believable. Right. And his promos, everything. The guy was the total package and could have been on top of the WWE for years.
And it's so funny because I actually lost my car a month ago. And he's the one that really got me into those cars. Oh, my gosh. When I lost my car, I was like, the next car that I get needs to be one that looks like what Eddie Guerrero had. I mean, I'm sure I couldn't afford it. But, I mean, he got me. I mean, he got anything he did, I was behind it. And that's what I'm talking about. Just being like believable and being able to capture us. That's what he did. I think he'll probably forever be just like my number one. I'll watch his matches forever. Like, those are timeless to me. So, yeah.
Yep. I mean, so you got the hydraulics in your car too. You had like so you're able to get those in your car. Like,
well, I wouldn't get the hydraulics, but like the old cars. Oh yeah, I love those.
And imagine in today's PG product where the motto for your top guy is lie, cheat, and steal. I mean, like, the morality behind that in 2019, I don't know if it would fit in today's super sensitive society. But he made it. It was just so enchanting the way that he was able to, even though lying, cheating, and stealing, I mean, those are like three cardinal sins, but at the same time, like, he made it so awesome to exactly. watch, and you like valued those things. It was just so crazy the way he was able to turn that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're gonna, and I know you said that you stand behind Eddie Guerrero, but Rey Mysterio he's so small too. I think he does some amazing things in the ring. I really like watching him.
And he's still there today. I don't know if you've seen him there, but he's still not a full-time guy, but he's on the roster. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he hasn't missed a step. I mean, seriously.
Right.
Right now he's in a program actually with Samoa Joe. And so no question about it. I remember when he won the Royal Rumble back in 2000. Oh boy. Four? No. I can't. It was 2006 or seven, maybe. And he ended up defeating Randy Orton and Triple H, who were the final three, and having him win the Royal Rumble and going on at WrestleMania and winning the World Heavyweight Championship. It was, yeah, I mean, he's an overachiever for sure. The things he can do inside the ring are just mind blowing.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. I mean, so are you a fan though?
I love Rey Mysterio. I'm not as big of a fan as Eddie Guerrero or Stone Cold. No, but okay. I think that I would say that Rey Mysterio is in my top 10, top 15 for sure.
Okay, nice. Yeah, for sure.
So, I really think that we've covered everything that we talked about covering, and I don't really have anything else that we could. Well, let's just say. We don't have the time, but we definitely could talk about a lot more. But you got family. I got family. I think I hear my baby crying. So, Angelique, it's been an awesome time. But before you go, just let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter again.
Oh, yes. That was going to be C_VeniVidiVici. That's C_VeniVidiVici.
Yeah, if you didn't spell it, I don't think anyone would have gotten it. So that's
I know.
When you said that, I'm like, oh, I really hope she spells that because I don't know what that is. Listen, Angelique, it's been awesome. We'll definitely have to do this again. And thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right, you have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye.
Push a woman too far, and she will push back. Push Taylor Thorne too far, people die. This is a story of a stripper with multiple personalities, some sweet, some sexy, some deadly. Please enjoy Lovely Beast by Amy Ford on Amazon.com.